Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR in More Than Money. Tax is an important topic for everybody and, of course, very important to Canadian business owners who might be in the process of transitioning a business. Now, there was a new bill brought forward, which we're going to have some discussion about today, that was really designed to resolve a decades-old tax inconsistency when selling to related parties.
Yeah, so let's kind of get the understanding of what the bill is about. This has a big impact to business owners who are selling. A lot of them use those proceeds for retirement. Yep. And so let's get our reoccurring guest, an expert on tax, Kim Moody, CEO, Moody's Tax. Kim, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure.
So let's talk a little bit about Bill C-208. That, of course, won't make sense to most people, but it does to you, and it does have some significant tax implications. Kim, why don't you give us a bit of an overview of what Bill C-208 is designed to do?
Sure. It's a little complicated, but I think it's rather easy to understand if I put it by way of an example. And this issue goes back about 35-ish years. So it's not a new issue, but it's been something that people have been complaining about. The government is committed to try to solve it, but there's been lots of delays. So Dave, let's say you own a company, you own shares of a private company, and you want to sell that to your son, for example. Well, if you sell it personally, so you sell your shares to your son and he buys them personally, no problem, you can claim capital gains deduction. But if you turn around and sell those shares to your son's private company, now that's recharacterized as not a capital gain, but as a dividend. And you cannot claim your capital gains deduction because in order to claim your capital, it's roughly $880,000capital gains deduction today because it's indexed with inflation. You need to have firstly a capital gain. And so the rules recharacterize in a situation like that, that you don't have a capital gain, you've got a dividend. Whereas if you sell your shares of your private company to me, for example, and even if it's my company that buys your shares, no problem. And so the rules are they distinguish between related parties, non-arm's length parties, and arm's length. And so the rules are very critical. Critical is the wrong word. The rules are biased against sales of shares to a non-arm's length party. And the reason for that is that if you look at all the rules and ultimately what's happening, Dave, if you sell your shares to your son's company and you take back cash or a promissory note, what really is happening is your son can use the existing surplus of your company that you're selling to repay the amounts owed to you. We call that in my industry, we call that surplus stripping. And because by definition, there's only one way that you can get corporate after-tax surplus out of a company, and that's usually by way of a dividend. And for anybody that's gone to accounting school, you'll know that. But so the rules say, listen, if you're stripping surplus out to a related party, we're gonna tax you as a dividend. But if you sell it to somebody else and they strip surplus to repay you, no problem. So that's kind of the core of the issue. So fast forward to 2015 and they're trying to solve this problem in a NDP private members bill, actually it was 16, I guess, tried to say, yeah, you know what, we need to extend the ability to have Dave's son use a company to buy the shares. Private members bill got killed. Fast forward to 2017, and we probably lots of your audience remembers the private corporation tax battle that happened in the summer of 2017, and there was a proposal to really go after surplus stripping on kind of a broad basis. They backed down from that, but what they did in 2017 is the government said, we're going to allow genuine intergenerational transfers. As long as it is a genuine transfer from Dave to his son and allow Dave to use his capital gains deduction. But we want some feedback as to what does a genuine transfer look like? And so they sought feedback, and some people like me and organizations like KALU and a bunch of other organizations provided feedback to the government. And they've sat on it ever since. They've done absolutely nothing with that feedback ever since. Fast forward to this year, and there's a private member's bill that basically cut and paste the previous private member's bill. Really, that's all they did. They cut and pasted. And surprisingly, it got passed and received royal assent on June the 29th. The problem with the bill is that it doesn't really define genuine transfers. And so really, and I'm oversimplifying this, but really, if your son ends up controlling, then you can claim a capital gains deduction, even if it's not a genuine transfer. And so the mischief basically is, okay, I could turn around and transfer, or Dave could turn around and transfer those shares to your daughter. And your daughter is not going to take care of the business and really has no interest in the business. But now you can strip out all that money and use the capital gains deduction. So that's the real concern with the bill that the government had. But it got passed. On June the 29th, it received royal assent. In a very surprising move, the next day, the government released a press release. Never seen anything like this. And it said, because there is no application date in the bill, the government intends to release legislation later this year to clarify that the application date of this bill will be January 1st, 2022. Well, you know, to the average person who doesn't understand tax law or understand law in general, and to be clear, I'm an accountant, I'm not a lawyer, but I hang around tax law all the time. And so that statement in and of itself, am I allowed to say BS on your program?
You just did. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Because there was no clarification needed. So that statement was total BS, because the law is extremely clear on this. And it's not fuzzy that once a bill, if it doesn't have an application date in the bill, it receives royal assent, it's immediately good law and becomes effective law. So that was a very, very misleading statement by the government. And actually, quite frankly, I'm very, what's the word? I'm not angry, but I'm disappointed that the government would do that, that the Department of Finance would release something like that, because it is effective law. But certainly the government was signaling that they intend to gut this law.
In your experience, how many of your clients are selling their shares to their children or grandchildren? Is that a bigger piece of this, of sales of business, or are most sale of business going to third party?
I would say, in my experience, about half and half. You know, there's certainly
that's what I've been hearing, right, Kim? Yeah. That's what I've been hearing, and I think that's an important piece, because intergenerational corporate ownership has been around since the farmlands, and so it's just now we're catching up to the fact that, hey, you know what, Dave? Your son, if you had one, can buy your company through his company. It just makes good sense. And finally, the government has put a bill in and accepted it. The problem, like you said, Kim, is that it's been punted till next year. And I believe next week they're going to be talking about, let's get the clarification, all this confusion and going on. So why would a government want to delay that? They've already got royal assent. Like, just let it go. Like, why not? Why would you think, in your experience with all the things that government has done when it comes to tax, why defer this one to next year?
Because the bill is not perfect. The bill does allow mischief to occur. Using the example where, you know, with Dave, if he transfers his shares to his daughter's company, well, that's not a genuine transfer in the example that I used. And so that allows surplus to be stripped out of capital gains, allowing Dave to use his capital gains deduction. So rightfully, you know, the government's concerned about, you know, mischievous surplus stripping. I think that's an admirable thing to be concerned about, because that's inappropriate tax, if you want to call it, planning. Having said that, the government had 35 years to deal with this issue, and recently 5 years to deal with this issue, and most recently, when they announced in 2017, 4 years to deal with this issue. I have very little sympathy for the government and the Department of Finance, on this. And yes, COVID has delayed things. But having said all that, the way that they press released this thing and said that they're going to change the law, very, very I'm tempted to use some stronger language. I'll just say
that's the part that scares me, right, Kim? That's the part that scares me. You get royal assent, it's law.
It's law.
And if they can do it in this situation, can they do it in other situations, sure, regardless if it's taxed or not? That's my concern.
Right.
You know, I understand there's no law out there that's perfect that will prevent any mischievous activity out there. People who want to be mischievous will find a way to get around those rules. And in this case, I'm just really concerned about the legal side of things versus just the tax side of things. But Kim, you know, we could be talking about this for a long time, and we're going to come back and talk about when this does get clarified. What do business owners need to do to make it done, to do it right? And that's why I want to bring you back. Kim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks a lot, guys.
It's Kim Moody, CEO, Canadian Tax Advisory. Now, stick around after the break, because we're going to get the CEO of the Calgary Chamber of Commerce's take on Bill C-208. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.